In the High Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, a wave of state laws has gone into effect that makes performing an abortion a criminal act. But advocates and authorities in this area are also concerned about something else: people who become targets of criminal prosecution after experiencing pregnancy loss. At least 38 states have laws that makes it a crime to harm a fetus, according to the Center for Public Integrity. Legal experts say that these laws were originally intended to stop violence against pregnant people, but they've been used to investigate different forms of pregnancy loss, including miscarriages, stillbirths, and self-induced abortions. To learn more about how pregnancy loss could be treated and what to expect in the country's new post-Dobbs era, we called Dana Sussman. She is the acting executive director of the National Advocates for Pregnant Women. That's an organization that in part provides legal defense for pregnant people, and it also tracks the prosecutions of pregnancy outcomes. Dana Sussman, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
First, could you explain how and why pregnancy loss is prosecuted in some cases? I think it might be hard for people to wrap their minds around somebody who's experiencing pregnancy loss than being investigated for a crime.
As you mentioned, 38 states in the country have a separate and unique crime for causing harm that results in the death of a fetus or fetal demise. And many of those laws have vague language around what exactly those laws are targeting. Many of them were championed as ways to prevent violence against pregnant women, pregnant people. So if there's an attack on a pregnant woman that causes the loss of her pregnancy, one could be charged for both causing the harm to the pregnant woman herself and to the fetus. But what some of these laws have been used for already, and what we anticipate that they will be used for even more in this post-Roe world, is the prosecution of the pregnant woman or the pregnant person themselves for pregnancy loss. Mothers who experience a stillbirth or a miscarriage are blamed for that loss because of behavior or exposure of an alleged risk of harm to the fetus, that they are then blamed for causing the pregnancy loss.
I was going to ask, are there stories that come to mind pre the end of Roe from your sort of existing work that you can point to? Because you can imagine where some people might just find this hard to fathom. Miscarriage is a fairly common outcome of pregnancy. I think that's something that comes to a shock to many people until they experience it themselves. So what cases can you point to about why this is a realistic concern?
So just last year, one of our clients, in a case we now represent her after her trial and conviction, unfortunately, a young woman in Oklahoma, her name is Brittany Pula. She experienced a miscarriage at 15 to 17 weeks, well within the range when miscarriages are exceedingly common and when there are, for the vast majority of them, no known cause. She went to the hospital in the midst of a medical emergency, and she shared with the providers there that she had used marijuana and methamphetamine during her pregnancy. She was later charged with manslaughter. Manslaughter in Oklahoma was always intended to apply, of course, to negligently causing the death of another person, but it has been reinterpreted by Oklahoma prosecutors and essentially sanctioned by the highest court in Oklahoma to now apply to fetuses as well. She was convicted after a one-day trial and sentenced to 4 years in prison, and she is currently serving that term right now.
So you're arguing that these laws explicitly were not intended. One assumes that you're looking to the legislative record.
Yes.
So what is the legal argument for using these laws in this way? Let's also recognize that there are people who are going to be listening to our conversation who are not going to be sympathetic to this. I think there are those who would argue that people using known harms like methamphetamine during pregnancy, that does warrant some sort of social sanction. So talk to me about that.
On the question of using drugs and being pregnant, what I think is really important to remember here is that the science doesn't back it up. There may be some risk of certain outcomes with respect to the health of the baby that are most typically transitory and temporary, things like low birth weight, and that, as we know, the vast majority of pregnancy loss are related to things like genetic abnormalities for which there is no known cause. The second thing that I would respond to is that this is a public health issue. If we are going to criminalize conduct during pregnancy, including self-managing an abortion or experiencing a pregnancy loss, we are discouraging people from seeking care, and we are going to have far worse health outcomes for both moms and babies and families. You know, we've had cases where a person was using prescribed Adderall and was charged criminally, or using medical marijuana to manage hyperemesis gravidarum, which has a 1 in 3 chance of causing a miscarriage, where women experience severe suicidality during pregnancy because they are so ill. And medical marijuana is actually quite effective because it helps to combat the constant nausea and vomiting that people experience for 9 months straight during when they have HG.
So what I think I hear you saying is that it isn't just people using illegal drugs. Is this accurate?
That is exactly what I'm saying. We have had cases of women using prescribed painkillers for pre-existing conditions like herniated discs and other back conditions that have used their prescribed drugs consistent with the prescription and have faced criminal charges for felony child neglect, for prescription fraud, for failing to adequately disclose their pregnancy to their healthcare provider when they were never asked about the pregnancy. And it doesn't require in many of these cases that there's actually any adverse health outcomes for the infant. In certain states, in Alabama, in Oklahoma, in South Carolina, it is simply enough for someone to test positive for a substance at birth for them to be charged with a felony in relation to their pregnancy. And it is, I want to be very clear too, that in many of these states, drug use is not criminalized. If you are pregnant, drug use is criminalized, but drug use is typically not criminalized. Drug possession is criminalized. But when you are pregnant, you are vulnerable to the application of laws that do not apply to anyone else.
It would seem just from the cases that you've described that there are people who are particularly vulnerable to being investigated in this way. I mean, it would seem that women who have a history of illegal drug use or women who are not of means, just being honest about it, just seem more vulnerable to being scrutinized by law enforcement, period. But is part of your concern here that this creates a general sort of criminal justice involvement in pregnancy loss?
Yes, absolutely. You're right that historically 80% of the cases that we've tracked involve women who are poor, who are subject to state surveillance in a variety of ways, whether it's because they're on public health insurance or whether they already have system involvement with respect to the child welfare system. But this is the canary in the coal mine. If we have allowed in this country for the state to monitor and control and impose criminal sanctions on people because of what they do or don't do during pregnancy, we have set up a system that will allow for the expansion of criminalization for people who self-manage abortion and experience pregnancy loss. And especially where we are looking at medically indistinguishable presentations, right? When you talk about self-managed abortion and we talk about a miscarriage, it is going to be very hard for criminal law enforcement to know whether someone self-managed an abortion or experienced a miscarriage. And so miscarriages and pregnancy losses more broadly will be swept in and will be deemed, quote, suspicious, and criminal law enforcement will be invited in to make the assessment.
That was Dana Sussman. She's the acting executive director of the National Advocates for Pregnant Women. Dana Sussman, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this expertise with us.
Thank you so much for having me.